Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
We got good news and we got bad news on Grant and Danny. Bad news is Ed McCaffrey is not coming on. Apparently we have a developing situation.
Oh, no.
There was the old mix-up on the coordination. So Luke's Papa Bear might join us tomorrow. Might not. Nobody knows. We'll figure that out in due time. But here's the good news. There's a lot to discuss for your pals Grant and Danny. And after our first hour of the program, catching up with Paul Taboni, President Baseball Operations in studio from the Nationals. Go grab that podcast wherever you get your audio if you missed any part of it. There's plenty of NFL we got to get to, including the story today that Terry McLaurin may not play on Sunday. So he did make progress for what it's worth. Remember, it's a Monday night football game, not Sunday. So today, while a Thursday, is actually more like a Wednesday. He was at practice. He was taking part in some drills and things on the side. I'll be curious to see the official designation he's listed with, probably limited in some capacity. But it's trending poorly, I would say, just based on the report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, who said today, Danny, that he doesn't think Terry McLaurin will play on Sunday. And generally, you're not going out on a limb if you're one of the national reporters.
What's the upside there to make that's an easy gotcha because you got it wrong thing that people can dunk on you with? Like, he's trending towards this, or he's doing okay, or he's working his way back. To say you don't think he's going to play, you kind of go, you must have it on pretty good authority.
And you're smart enough to hedge, right? It sounds like it's trending toward there's a chance that. But on a Thursday, to just open the door to Terry McLaurin's probably not playing this weekend means to me either on the player side with the agent, probably more likely, or the team side talking to someone with the Commanders on their staff. He got word that it sounds like McLaurin may not play. Let's just listen to what Rap Sheet had to say on NFL Network today about McLaurin.
Washington Commanders does not seem like they're going to have the services of one of their top receivers. Terry McLaurin has been battling a hip flexor injury, officially called a quad, more like a hip flexor though. He was not at practice yesterday for the Commanders again because he missed last week. Does not bode well for his status on Sunday. You would think that to be able to play in the game, he'd have to have a full practice. Has not even had a limited practice yet since his injury. Not looking good the Monday nighter against the Bears, but obviously we will see if he's there at practice today.
Which he was, not full go, not participating in everything on the field, but doing something. It was a step upwards, which is a good sign, I guess. But this is different than the start of the week.
Uh-huh.
This is different than when Dan Quinn did more than he normally does to kick off a week. When Quinn, on Monday, said he thought that McLaurin, the number one wide receiver for Washington, who they just extended after turmoil and a contract dispute all offseason, was trending toward playing. And now you've got a guy that has nothing to gain from being wrong on this coming out and feeling comfortable enough on Thursday. Same person that has diagnosed the injury a couple weeks ago that told us it was more serious than people thought. He's been right every step of the way. I think he's talking to the agent probably, more so than the team. But I think Rap Sheet's here and he's not going to go on Sunday, and the team's not putting that out yet, but leads you to believe, I guess it's Monday night rather, but he's not going to go on Monday night. That's where I'm now trending.
So I didn't know this yesterday, obviously, when I said, hey, I'm more concerned than the average bear on it, despite the confidence sort of tone from Dan Quinn talking about McLaurin. But this whole thing was more mysterious and more cloudy than your standard, he sprained this, he strained this, he'll be back and whatever. I know they always kind of hide behind that wall of return to play and every milestone's important and we'll answer that question the same way next week, etc. But there was more optimism with this one. But remember what the backdrop was. It was not your standard issue, he landed funny or he turned it. It was multiple second opinions. So I don't know what opinion we got to, 3, 4, 5, or 11, who knows. But this didn't seem very standard. And the idea that this was just a, oh, he needs a second, the way John Bates strained his groin, I think is what it was. I think it was a groin for Bates. Takes a couple weeks. He'll be back. He was back. That's more normal. This one didn't seem normal. So I'm not surprised that it may be taken a little bit longer than we might have thought initially.
I just know that this season has been a disaster so far on the McLaurin front. Not even his own doing. But after holding out of all activities all summer and then not showing up at training camp, and then the only fly in the ointment throughout the entire camp process, right? We just talked to Paul Toboni, the president of baseball ops for the Nat. They're going to be down at West Palm. They're going to be having spring training workouts. And it's, you get down there like we do every single year, it's the best. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone's pulling the rope in the same direction. Everybody's ramping up for the start of the season. The brotherhood is alive and well. At training camp this year for the Commanders, everybody was pulling the rope except McLaurin, basically.
Yep.
And now you fast forward, and after three games, he had 10 catches. He'd never only had 10 catches through three games. It was the least production we've ever seen from him through three contests. And then you skip forward another 2 weeks where he's never missed back-to-back games with injuries. Now he has. He's on the precipice of missing a third consecutive game. I guess it wouldn't shock me to miss a third game with this injury if Quinn didn't come out Monday and make it sound like, yeah, things are positive. We feel pretty good about Noah Brown and Terry McLaurin and how they look for this weekend.
Do you wonder if there was a there's a disconnect in some way?
Well, what I think is, because Quinn never really does that, I think it was a nod to, yeah, there's a good chance he can play from what we can tell. I don't know that he's sending a message to McLaurin at all, but I just think he's saying, like, Terry's getting second and third and fourth evaluations outside of the building, and this is what I'm feeling, and this is what's going on. I took it as, yeah, we think there's a really good chance he can play on Sunday, and him and Noah Brown are trending in the right way. I'm paraphrasing.
Yep.
And then he doesn't practice, and everyone goes, oh, he's still not practicing. Noah Brown did. Dan didn't separate those two. He didn't say, well, we feel better about Noah. He does that a lot, by the way. He's like, this guy's a little further along, probably more from him early in the week than Terry. He didn't. He kind of linked them together. Yeah, we like where they're at, hopefully this weekend. Brown is practicing each day now. Terry is not. That's interesting to me.
Now, it's nowhere near this level. And I want to say that one more time, Grant. It's nowhere near this level yet. But it has the beginnings. The first chapter reminds me of the Chase Young, Ron Rivera chapter, where it sounded like he'll be back this week. And then he wasn't. We feel like it's going to happen this week. And then it wasn't. And then the behind-the-scenes report was, this is the week. And then it wasn't. And then it was 2 months or however long it was. I don't remember when Young came back. It was like week 7, week 8, something like that. But again, we're not close to that yet. I want to re-stamp that. This is not the same. But that's what that reminds me of when there's, we think he's going to play or he's trending in that direction. And then you get a contradiction report later in the week. Now, it simply could just be it didn't respond yesterday to whatever treatment that happened, or today it wasn't feeling as good as we thought after we pushed it yesterday for, you know, and kind of whatever. And I understand that sort of stuff happens. But when you start getting that, the voice that's in charge expects X, and then the report comes out a totally different channel that it's actually not X, it's in fact Y, it reminds me of that a little bit. Again, we are nowhere near that level yet of whatever you call it, miscommunication, dysfunction, whatever that crap was. I'm not saying we are, but that's what it reminds me of to a little bit.
I think this is all going to be a distant memory a month from now. I believe that. I think as
I
we
hope so.
Get deeper into the season, McLaurin's obviously going to play, and I think he's going to play really well. That's what his entire history has been. That's what he's always been able to do. Flip the switch, go produce, go put up numbers. And so he's going to get out there. He's not going to route people up. That's not his game. But when he can get up to full speed and he can run behind people, him and Daniels will be on the same page and they'll be able to hit on some deeper things down the field. And we're going to look back at September, early October and say, remember when there was concern about McLaurin's season? I really think that's where we're headed and how this thing will end. But this is lingering longer than I thought. I said that before the season started. I said, it'll be a couple weeks, but by the end of September, he's going to look like Terry McLaurin. Well, because of the injury, it hasn't happened. But then when he got hurt, I said, all right, that week to week, maybe a couple games from now. But he'll come back in about mid-October. He'll be raring to go. It's almost mid-October. He's still going to just have to get back on the field for a game or two before you would think he's back at max capacity. So other than just circling back over and over to what we were talking about in the summer when we said it's going to be a really, really bad look if this season goes sideways, the season's about a third over after this week. It's going sideways.
It's in the middle of sideways.
And he's never had a season like this. And 6 years in a row, your offseason was completely different. Sorry, man. It just, this did not end the way it should have. And everyone, whether it's the team, whether it's the player, and I think specifically the agent and the player on this, more so than the team, is going to have to answer some tough questions about that. Now, I don't think he has spoken since his injury. I could be wrong about that. But I'm pretty sure I haven't seen anything publicly from him since his injury about how he's feeling or the recovery or anything like that. And the day he heard it, I was there at the game in the locker room. He was out of the locker room before we even got in there postgame. So he didn't speak that day. So we haven't really heard from him. We just have the reports, these veiled comments from Rappaport or Schefter or whoever. And they're talking to an agent and they're talking to the team. But at what point do we kind of say, all right, it's time for the jury to return the verdict here and slam the gavel.
There's still plenty of opportunity for
recovery. This summer was a debacle, and it cost you a year of production in your career.
Yeah, and you know, when I was beating that drum in July and August, hey, it's going to come to a point where we get there. You've now passed the point of being able to have a good beginning to the season, which could then affect all of it. And this was one of those disaster scenarios where you had a muscle strain, and that could have happened, you know, if he was at every training camp practice. We'll never know that. But the point is you open the door up. There's still chance, plenty of chance, for this train to get back on track, right? But we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I think it was actually one of the days that you were out. Is this Terry McLaurin season in jeopardy? He has been the dependable Swiss watch, right? Where it's just over 1,000 yards, upper 70s, right around 80 catches. You know, last year the touchdown number spiked, but in general it's 5, 6, 7 touchdowns, about 1,100 yards, 80 catches. Book it, right? When he plays, that's what's going to happen. We're not close to that right now. And if we somehow come back over the next couple of weeks, whether it's this week or next week, and start playing at that pace, he won't get to the overall numbers, but it'll still be a really useful, helpful receiver for the stretch run. All will be forgotten because there's 5 divisional games left. You'll be just fine. You know, who cares if he gets his end of season numbers or not? He's still really helpful for a team that goes to the playoffs and does some of the things that they want to do this year. But it's in jeopardy. I mean, at this point, and again, it's not fair to say 100% blame goes one place or another place, because we don't know. That variable of would he have gotten hurt had he been in every training camp practice and done everything he was supposed to do, we'll never know that. That's impossible to say. And as someone who was screaming he needs to show up and practice, I'm fully aware of that fact. I cannot prove it one way or the other. The point to me was you need to be doing everything you can. Past the attempt to get everything that every dollar that you can, which I respect and understand, you then went too long into the business of this year, and now we're here. Now we're at a place where you are not having a Terry McLaurin season.
The only good news, I think, with them being 3-2 is I don't believe that his struggles, and I'm lumping injuries and just less productivity than in the past, have led to any less success for them. It's not like they'd be 4-1 right now, in my opinion, if Terry McLaurin had played in every game and was Terry McLaurin. Like the Green Bay game,
I think you're right about that.
They had no chance and they got waxed.
Yep.
The Atlanta game was not an offensive problem. They got what they wanted. They moved the football. They scored points. When they were on the field with The Rock, the Falcons didn't really have answers defensively.
Yeah, there might have been one more big play in there, but he wasn't going to cover any passes.
You catch a ball that Chris Moore drops, maybe. Okay, cool. But that was a defensive issue. That you lost that game. So they'd be 3-2 with him, 3-2 without him. So I guess if that is the case, then what really is the issue here in the grand scheme of things? Someone could say that. I'm more of a process-oriented guy than a result-based guy. So I don't think through that prism. I'm not viewing it through that lens. But if you just want to say he has not cost them anything, they'd be 3-2 with him or without him, sure, okay, fine. And by the way, because of the Jaden Daniels injury, like The offense hasn't even really gotten going yet and taken flight. That would probably be the case with or without Terry McLaurin, too. So he could still be here for the part of the season where I'm telling everybody yesterday, let's buy stock right here and right now in this offense. You're getting McLaurin back at some point. Noah Brown's coming back. You're running the ball better than you have at any point, number one in the National Football League. Your offensive line's excellent. The insertion of Chris Paul at guard's been huge. His grade via PFF, his run blocker's been terrific. He threw another clean sheet in pass protection this week. So there's no reason not to assume that a top five offense at times last year with an MVP caliber quarterback, if Jaden gets back to playing at that level, can't be one of the best in football. And McLaurin can be a huge part of that. The whole season's out in front of him. I just can't help but keep coming back to, and maybe it's just because of the hours and hours we spent on this in the summer. Every segment that we did on that ended with some variation of, man, it's going to look really bad if he has a really ugly start to the year. And you couldn't have imagined one uglier than this because he's hurt and he's got 10 catches still. I'm not team Chris Russell, but remember what Russell said when he was in here last week.
I do remember it.
Slashy basically suggested that Terry McLaurin may shift the way he thinks about pushing through injury, putting his body on the line, grinding to get back on the field based on this summer, based on the fact that you did everything the team asked for all these years. You fought through injuries. You played through pain. You gutted it out while you were on losing teams with bad quarterbacks. And maybe in his mind, what did it get you? Not the contract you wanted. Basically got you a team-friendly one-year extension, right? And so what he had suggested, and we'll play this audio next segment, but he said something to the effect of, are we sure that Terry McLaurin isn't just now making sure that I'm looking out for number one and making sure my body's completely okay because the tape I'm putting out there becomes more important if I'm clearly not going to be here for the next 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, and his point was about human nature. Now, again, I wouldn't feel comfortable even raising the question, to be honest with you, but that's thank God for Russell for that very reason. But the human nature part of it is I don't feel the love and loyalty from my bosses. So you're going to get the minimum that I need to do to be successful instead of everything I've got. You ever been in a situation like that before? Now, it's not ideal. But how about this? But yeah, that's
the
thing.
I think that's the correct way to put it. I'll even go this route, though. If you had a 5 or 6 year deal right now, you would act a little bit differently than if you didn't know where you're going to be working in a year. And I think that's kind of what happened this offseason. McLaurin was looking for a deal that would lock him in D.C. for the next 3, maybe 4 seasons, let's say, where it's impossible to get out of the deal for 3 years, but likely I'm going to be here for the next 4. And the team balked on that to an extent. I think they did the right thing. I think Adam Peters looks correct. I think the way they handled this, while at the time a lot of us just wanted it over and it didn't seem like the juice was worth the squeeze because they ended up significantly winning the negotiation. And you know, I don't even think it was that close. They don't have anything necessarily to feel bad about because the deal they got is very team friendly and it's over soon. But if you're McLaurin, what if you do come back and push through and now you hurt it this weekend and you're out for 2 months or you need surgery on your hip flexor, whatever the hell the injury is? I've heard 9 different things. Nobody knows what this injury is.
Core injury, quad injury.
Sure, that's not a bad sign, by the way.
I know.
Everyone's calling it a different thing.
11 different second opinions.
But that in and of itself to me, this idea of just the vagueness of the injury and the fact that no one really knows what's going on tells you a lot. But if you were going to be here for the foreseeable future, maybe you just say, okay, well, if I come back and I get hurt, then so be it. But now you come back and you get hurt or you come back and you don't play well and it hinders you. You're a year and a half away from free agency right now. That has to be somewhere in the back of your mind. I think that was Russell's point. We'll let you hear the audio and touch on that next. How much have the Commanders missed McLaurin? That's a question worth talking about. Luke McCaffrey's coming on. Jalen Lane has made some big plays, made a 3rd-and-16 catch at the sticks last week. And it's not like their offense and their passing game has been a problem. Even without Jaden Daniels, with Marcus Mariota for 2 weeks against the Raiders and against the Falcons, they moved the ball up and down the field. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on McLaurin ahead of Monday Night Football. The report from NFL Network today is that it's trending toward him not being able to go for a third straight game. He had never missed back-to-back games, let alone three in a row. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. In 30 minutes at 4 o'clock, we've got tickets to My Chemical Romance. You can win those. You got to be listening to The Fan. Phone number is 800-636-1067. We're asking you right now about wide receiver Terry McLaurin. A controversial, turbulent summer has turned into a fall now where he has played in three games, caught 10 passes, and he's on the verge, according to Ian Rappaport, of possibly missing a third consecutive game. He will have missed half of the games to this point while having his least productive first three games of the season at any point after the way the summer played out. This was Rap Sheet today on NFL Network. And by the way, this is not a... I thought he was just saying, like, he's trending toward not playing. It's actually a little harder in the paint than that. He says, does not seem like they're going to have him. Talks about yesterday not boding well. Now, if he was just basing this on his practice status yesterday from New York, wherever he broadcasts from, I don't think you would have seen him on the practice injury report as DNP and then say on Wednesday before a Monday night, it doesn't bode well. That's a gigantic leap. We had Nikki Javala, who covers the team for The Athletic, on the show yesterday. And I said, Nikki, am I crazy here? Him not practicing today is not that big of a deal. It's a bonus practice. It's basically a normal Tuesday because they don't play until Monday. And she's completely agreed tomorrow's more telling. So it's not like Rap Sheet just looked at him not practicing and said, well, the game's on Monday. It's basically a Tuesday practice. He didn't go. This doesn't bode well. He's not going to play. He's clearly hearing from somebody something.
Yeah.
It's the same guy that had all the info on the injury. My guess is he's talking to the agent. This was him on national TV today.
Washington Commanders does not seem like they're going to have the services of one of their top receivers. Terry McLaurin, who's been battling a hip flexor injury, officially called a quad, more like a hip flexor, though. He was not at practice yesterday for the Commanders again because he missed last week. Does not bode well for his status on Sunday. You would think that to be able to play in the game, he'd have to have a full practice. Has not even had a limited practice yet since his injury. Not looking good, the Monday nighter against the Bears, but obviously we will see if he's there at practice today.
Danny, fill in the blank here. Finish the sentence. If Terry McLaurin doesn't play this week and misses a third straight game, then?
Should they have put him on IR? I mean, I guess if he comes back for the fourth game and he's, you know, fine, but you would think he might be a little bit limited. Did they misdiagnose it? Is it a case of miscommunication? Is it a case of surprising setbacks? I mean, to me, there's a lot of variables here.
Our 106.7 The Fan Twitter's got the poll of the day posted. It's on this very topic. Presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long-distance, residential, or commercial. Three decades of best-in-class service and experience. We'll read the results to that poll to you in just a moment. But let's hit the guest line of the phone lines. Tyrone's in Upper Marlboro. What's up, Tyrone? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm glad you actually brought this conversation up again because I called it last week when Chris was on the show with you guys. And I definitely, my opinion, just because of Terry's track record, I don't agree with that sentiment that he may be not saying taking it easier. I mean, or being overly cautious because of the guaranteed contract or the years on the guarantee. I don't really buy that. That's not my opinion. And I think we still need him. Like, unless we put at least a five-game win streak together, we need Terry out there. But good news is we got Deebo. The running game is flowing right now, so we can kind of hold down the fort until he gets ready for that run in November and December. I'm fine with that.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no question they're better with him.
Well, yeah, I would hope. Yeah. Otherwise, what the hell's the point of having a $30 million AAV?
Indeed.
If you don't need him. Now, I will say, I don't think they have missed him significantly. They can get by for a week or two. And by the way, that's not a knock against Terry. The Commanders didn't miss Jaden Daniels that much for 2 weeks, and he might be an MVP candidate. Marcus Mariota played his butt off against the Raiders. They won by almost 20. And then they went to Atlanta, and the offense was a non-issue. With Daniels, do you make a couple more plays? Do you possibly win a shootout? Can you maybe get that game to overtime? I guess if you have more time of possession, you keep the defense off the field. But short of Jaden Daniels rushing the quarterback in Atlanta, I don't know how he would have helped them win that football game.
Is he covering Drake London?
But there's a difference, Danny, between a game or two and 12. You know, there's a difference between a game or two or three and a season. And without Terry McLaurin, your offensive bar lowers. Because Deebo Samuel's probably not playing 17 games. Because Luke McCaffrey, for the breakout that he is having, and Jalen Lane, for the good that he's done at this point of his career, is not on that level. They may never be on that level. This is a star. Those guys may never be $30 million a year third contract players. I don't know. Hopefully they become that. But I just don't know that you can really say there's obvious spots where they missed him through a couple of weeks, other than maybe he would have taken a little more pressure off of or attention off of Zach Ertz. And maybe he gets a couple more targets, a couple more catches.
Yeah, he catches the ball that Chris Moore dropped in the end zone. Or, you know, a couple other places where he might have been the number one option, where it went for a check down somewhere, you know, the third and 10 to McNichols that he turned into a first down. Maybe that's a 25-yarder to McLaurin somewhere else. It's always hard to say. But they need him to be him to get where they want to go. And that's kind of the salient point that cuts through this. And we're waiting. This is now week five. Or we're past that now. Now we're looking to week six, where we're going, when are you going to be the Terry McLaurin that we all were waiting for, that the team has paid for, right? That there's a whole bunch of money headed your way to perform at this really high level that you were demanding. You wanted more than this guy, than that guy. Please live up to that. And it hasn't happened yet. And it still can, but it hasn't.
I want to play the Chris Russell clip, which when he said it, I disagreed with. And I think as I sit here today, by the way, I still disagree with.
Like, I don't subscribe to it.
But with every passing non-full practice day, and with every week where he doesn't play, it's a more interesting conversation, even if I continue to disagree with it. It gets harder to dismiss outright. This is what Russell said on our show.
I think Terry McLaurin might be, for the first time in his career, listening to the doctors, to specialists, and his body, instead of trying to burn a hole through a brick wall to play and get back on the field. Because, and this is my theory, I don't know this. I'm sure they would deny this. I think his main stance to get the money that he wanted or to get the ask that or something close to that was, hey, I'm here for every practice. I'm here for every game. I'm Mr. Reliable. And it didn't work. He didn't get rewarded the way he wanted to or the way he thought he would or some of the market said he should. And because of that, I now wonder, okay, you didn't take care of me. You didn't reward that. I'm going to listen to the specialists, hence the reason why I'm seeing multiple specialists. I'm going to listen to my body, which is not 100% right. I'm not going to go out there injured and not be able to run routes and for everybody to blow me up on all 22 footage and say that I'm not as fast and I'm not as good and Cliff didn't move me around and this, that, and the other thing. I'm not going to do all that.
Again, calling it a theory, I think, is exactly what it is. It's a hypothesis at this point. Nobody's inside the mind. Nobody's been able to talk to him. Nobody's been able to deduce exactly what's happening. And again, the mystery shrouding this injury also plays into it as well. I have no idea because the accusation, when you really boil it down, is that, yeah, he's slow playing this to come back. I don't think that's the case at this point. I don't have enough evidence to be able to slam the gavel on that et cetera. And I wouldn't necessarily do that because of the player that we're talking about.
Is it synonymous to say slow playing with not stomping the gas pedal? In other words, you don't have to be tapping the brakes at all. If you're trying to drive somewhere and I'm trying to drive somewhere and I'm driving way more aggressively than you, I'm going to get there first. It doesn't mean you're going slowly. You're just going.
Jaden Daniels is hurt, and he's like a puppy when its owner comes back home, desperate to play. I need now. Please get me back in. Please get me back in.
Is Terry the same way?
Is he the same way? I don't. And again, I have no idea. He might be.
I would imagine he is.
He might be.
That's where I disagree with Russell. But I think Russell's point is, it wouldn't be crazy if he wasn't after what happened to him this summer.
Right.
I think that's his point.
And so, but here's where I'm going. Previously, the track record of Terry McLaurin was one thing, and that was part of his selling point to the team as to why he deserved more. This whole saga was not in line with what he'd done previously. The Terry McLaurin that I know would have done whatever he could to try to get paid, but then when it's like, all right, Terry, business time, football time, let's go. This year, we need you. All the rhetoric, all the things that made you the great citizen, all the wonderful stuff that you've done in this community, for this organization, for these players, for this team, for this coaching staff, for the fans. Business of football happened. Whether you win or lose, you know, you didn't sign up for a Supreme Court nomination where you get the job for life. This is the NFL. It's a bad business and it's tough. It's now this year. You need to show up and play, and he didn't do that. So that my previous view of him had to be altered a little bit, right? Doesn't mean he's a bad dude or like a cancer or something like that, but I didn't think he would do that, and I watched him do it for months.
Let's go to Matt in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Matt? How are you?
This is bad Grant and Danny. Bad. It's like, when Terry was holding out, what do you think he was doing? Eating, like, cans of Hormel chili and drinking, a two-liter bottle of Sprite? I bet he was, doing some running, some stretching.
I'm sure he was. But he wasn't practicing football. There's a reason why not being at training camp leads to a higher risk of injury for guys that hold out.
I mean, that is a thing that happens, but also you can take a look at the Bengals who, went all in on getting off to a good start.
Totally.
And they're, yeah. So
that's not the same thing at all. You're talking about preseason reps?
Well, I mean, that's a whole deal.
Shamar Stewart, who didn't show up on time at practice for them, is hurt. That's the comp there, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, but it seems like, I feel like it's more the notion when you're 24, 5, or 6, you may be able to push through an injury a little bit easier than a 30-year-old.
I think that's fair, too.
Totally possible, yeah.
And I think we would all agree, much like Jaden, it's like I don't want him rushing back and being at like 75% and then getting hurt. I mean, to your point of saying who knows what would have happened had he played, I guess in the Atlanta game in our losses. If certainly he is very possibly and probably would have made a big play.
Well, I bet you they'd be better on third down. They'd have more speed on the field, so maybe some of the explosive plays they've lacked would have. That number would be higher. They would have hit on a couple of those. But there's no reason to believe that any of their wins wouldn't have been. They would have still won those games because they're a better football team. And their losses weren't offensive issues or passing game issues. So those losses probably don't become wins either. Maybe you stay on the field a couple times on third down. You flip time of possession. Maybe a team's playing from behind because you score an early touchdown or something. And Atlanta, all of a sudden Michael Penix, he can tee off and get to the quarterback. I guess a lot of things could have changed, but just looking at how those games played out, I don't think the 3-2 record changes much with or without him. I give him the benefit of the doubt. I happen to believe this is an injury that he's fighting through and he's trying to get back on the field. It does not change the fact that after the summer, where he did everything differently for the first time ever, the results have all been different as well. That's just a fact. Now, whether one equaled the other, I don't know.
We got correlation, maybe not causation.
But at the beginning of the week, because of Dan Quinn saying it sounded like he was going to go on Monday night, 7 days later, I said, all right, cool. I'm filing Terry McLaurin into the probably coming back category. We can put this discussion to bed. And now 3 days later, Rappaport comes out and says, yeah, the Commanders are preparing to not have Terry McLaurin on Monday. That's a departure from what we were trending toward 3 days ago. Did something change? Were they just wrong? Are they thinking something different than the player? These are reasonable questions. G&D on the Fan. Let's get you a double play next. Remember, we got those tickets to My Chemical Romance coming up in 17 minutes. They'll be at Nats Park this summer. If you want to get over to Nationals Park to see them, you better be listening right at 4 on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Tomorrow, the show is on the road, a Friday field trip. We are back in Reston, back at Charbar at the JW Marriott Hotel. Charbar is the basically the lobby hotel there. It's a great restaurant as well. The food was incredible.
Dynamite.
If you're in the Reston area looking to have lunch or just a cocktail at happy hour or something, we're going to be there from 2 to 6:30. So stop by. Come say hello. Watch some of the show. And enjoy yourself. It's a brand new, freshly opened bar. In fact, I've got a few buddies out that way that were asking, where are you guys doing the show? And I told them, and they said, oh, that place is open? They've seen it getting built.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's still like new paint smell and everything. But come on in. We were there
dynamite.
A couple weeks ago, and we couldn't have had more fun.
The chef could have been kinder, made us a giant, like, Super Bowl trophy-sized chocolate football. I say again, the whole football was chocolate and also had mini footballs on the chocolate football.
Yeah, the football was made out of 100 small footballs.
Of chocolate.
And everything was chocolate.
Yeah.
I took the chocolate football home to the kids, and like the next morning they ate a bunch of chocolate for breakfast.
That's right. How did you guys devour the actual bigger football? How did you do that?
I wasn't there for that part.
Okay.
I ended up going to, I think it was at Commanders. I don't know. I was gone the next day. And I didn't see how the football part of it went. If I had to guess, my kid took a couple bites of it, and then my wife got mad and probably made sure he didn't eat any more of it.
Okay.
But all the footballs were gone. All of the side pieces that are rippable were gone. And we were down to just like the Lombardi Trophy part of it.
Amazing.
Which was just like a big, heavy, five-pound chocolate football.
Just a big, giant chocolate football. There are pictures of it. It's great. But the food was dynamite. I have purposefully, a couple different times, I've wanted to eat burger. Or ground beef at some point over the last week plus. I didn't. Do you want to know why? I'll tell you. Because I'm going to eat the cheeseburger there tomorrow. I've been thinking about it. I didn't eat it last time. Saving it for the second time we were going.
The burger there is very, very elite. 70 burger. 75 on its best day, probably.
Man. It's
a Hall of Fame burger. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
Everybody's fine, so this is a non-emergency, non-issue. But I had to scoot out of the show yesterday as soon as we were done at City Tap. I told you what was going on. So my oldest had this weird like face rash with like bumps and stuff. He was fine by the time I got to practice, but it was one of those things where everybody's sort of looking and saying, hey, somebody needs to come take a look at this. This seems unusual. And again, he was fine. And then I had some friends over today to play some pickleball this morning, and one of their kids is sick and has some sort of weird. It just reminded me, whatever this is, as soon as we start up again where the kids are around other kids, whatever, it's a full scale, at all times, assault of various things. It's impossible to be clean enough. It's impossible not to have reactions. It's impossible not to have colds and flus and stomach things and this. And everybody says the same thing. It's going around. It was harrowing for about an hour, then everything was fine. But it just reminded me, like, we're in it, dude. And I signed up for so many more years of it with my 8-month-old.
I was at the Caps game last night. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. The result was not very good. They lost 3-1, empty net goal. It was a 2-1 game. They lose to the Boston Bruins. The Caps should be good this year. Bruins should be bad this year. Played down. Wasn't an ideal opener. I wonder sometimes with like the red carpet event beforehand and then the introductions and all the stuff that goes into the hoopla before the game, if it's just like too distracting and too much to go play your A game. So we'll see what they look like next time out. I'll be curious. But not a great performance for the Capitals. But I bring this up to say, I'm at the arena last night, and I go get myself a drink. I get a Coke Zero. And I get like one of the smaller, the level I'm on, it's not even like a souvenir-sized cup, although they may have called it that. But it was like a smaller than your cup right there, but
yeah,
a normal-sized cup, I'd say, plastic cup with a lid. And so I go over to then, I paid for the drink. It's like $9.95 or whatever. Are you sure it's $9.95? All right, fine.
I get four drinks for that, right?
Whatever it takes. So I get my little cup, and I go over to the soda machine, and I'm assuming, I think, and I never really found out, but I think based on the price, like I'm guessing it's refillable throughout the night or whatever. But I'm at the soda machine, and I'm pushing really hard against the little contraption that's supposed to allow soda to now fall out.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's happening.
Okay.
I'm pushing again. Nothing's happening. I like, turn around to tell my buddy. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. Like, are they out of soda? Is it just the Coke Zero? I'm like hitting other things. Nothing's happening. But I keep seeing other people successfully getting drinks.
Oh, it drives me crazy when that happens.
And I'm like, what are they doing that I'm not doing? So there's this little kid. I'm not exaggerating. He had to be maybe 8 tops. This kid just filling up a bunch of drinks for people and like passing them to his family. And I was like, dude, I'm like, what are you doing that I'm not doing? And he's like, well, did you scan your barcode? And I'm like, no, what barcode? Off my receipt? He's like, no, on your cup. What are you talking about? So at the arena, there are barcodes on the cup that you scan into like this little red scanner thing that looks like something at a grocery store where you'd have to, you know, drag an item across.
What in the hell?
And so it picks up your barcode and then it gives you 10 seconds or whatever, 15 seconds to fill up your drink at that barcode. I guess it's so that you can't just walk up to the machine with a normal cup and fill it up with a drink.
Oh, so you don't, that means probably don't get refills then. You have to go.
So that was my other assessment, is maybe I don't get a refill. Maybe it's not a souvenir cup. Because otherwise, like if I scan the barcode a second time, a minute, like an hour later or something, is it going to give me another 15 seconds? Maybe it will. I don't know. So here's what I know. I scan the barcode. I get a bunch of Coke Zero. It's a very small cup. So like 3 swigs, it's gone. And then it's probably been like 90 seconds. I scan it again, and it gives me 17 more seconds.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
So I'm wondering, is it because I have like 5 minutes to get a couple of refills, or is it actually mean I have it all night long? I still don't know the answer. But have you ever seen barcode cup technology?
No.
Where you have to scan your cup before you put it underneath and push for a drink? And I am so dumb, I couldn't figure it out. I mean, everyone else is like, has no problems. I don't know how they all figured this out. I could not. Until this little kid said,
I hate that feeling.
He like takes the cup for me and starts scanning it. I'm like, oh. He's like, yeah, that's how you get the drink. And I'm like, anything else you could teach me, please, young man?
How do you do pictures on the phone?
Felt 100.
It is the worst feeling. Because it's supposed to make everything easier. And I don't know if it is. Not easier for me.
Let's give away My Chemical Romance tickets. We'll do that as soon as we come back on Grant and Danny. Still to come on the program today, we got ourselves another Rookie of the Week distinction for the Commanders. It's Bill season. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, for the second time this season, he's become the front runner for the O'Roy Award, I suppose. And I want to get into Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, round 2 from Northwest Stadium, coming up on Monday. This is The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.